The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that on birthdays, on anniversaries, and every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those words, a Hallmark card, means finest quality. Mean that you've cared enough to send the very best. And don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage and screen, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte became an heir of the Barton estate. Everyone thought she'd come into millions, and she did. Millions of problems. But the Barton estate consists of run-down property and three neglected children, and it's Charlotte's job to run them all. Right now, it's nearing midnight in the old Barton mansion, and Charlotte's taking time off her regular long-distance call to her manager, Roger Humphrey in Hollywood. She's saying...
Yes, Roger, that's what I said. And the bathroom's in this house. When you turn on the hot water, you get cold. And when you turn on the cold, you get hot. When you turn them both on together, guess what you get? That's right, the plumber. Only he doesn't come for 3 days, and by that time the water's up to your ankles. Still, I always say a good plumber's worth waiting for. I stepped right into that one, Roger. Yeah, this house is a well-built house. It's not like some of those California houses made out of chicken wire and Kleenex. Yeah, I know California houses are not to be sneezed at. One good sneeze and all you've got left is a vacant lot. Oh, I'm enjoying taking care of these plays. Yes, I love the cooking and the sweeping and the scrubbing and the working my fingers to the bone and getting no thanks for it. Yes, just like being married. And besides...
Charlotte, where do you want this thing?
What's the matter? Just a minute, Roger. Mr. Anderson is here helping me get these things straightened around. What is it, Mr. Anderson?
This bust of Shakespeare that you had me bring down from the attic. Where do you want it?
Well, hold it till I'm through the phone.
But it weighs a ton. When will you be through?
Well, I told you in an hour I'd be through in a minute.
Oh.
Oh, hello, Roger. Are you still there? Fine. Bye.
Now, look, will you hurry and tell me where you want this bust?
Well, hold it a while. You and Shakespeare look so cute together.
Cute?
No, there's such a resemblance. Did anybody ever tell you you look like Shakespeare?
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. You really think so?
Mm-hmm. Well. Yes, your heads are almost exactly the same shape, only yours is thicker.
Oh, now look, for the last time, Charlotte, will you tell me where to put this
thing? Now let's try it on the piano.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There. That's it. I'm going to sit down and rest a minute.
Now, wait a minute now, before you sit down. Now, what do you think I ought to do with that high boy?
Why don't you give it away to somebody you don't like? Or is this another valuable antique?
Well, it's a kind of in-between. You know, it's too old for a poor family. It's not old enough for a rich one.
Well, there's always the furnace.
Still, it might look all right if we move it back in that corner. Or would it?
Oh, make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Yes, I'm positive it would. I think.
All right, all right. Stand out of my way and I'll drag it over there.
Up to Daisy. Is it heavy?
Oh, no. I just stopped to take my deep breathing exercises. I forgot them this morning.
Well, let me help you with it.
You never mind. Just keep out of the way, please. How's that?
No. I'm afraid it doesn't look well over there after all. Would you mind dragging it back?
Oh, not in the least.
The only difference between me and a horse is that a horse wears a collar.
But, Mr. Anderson, you're wearing a collar.
Yes.
Huh?
Wait, I've got an idea.
Well, treat it gently. It's all alone.
Yeah, we'll put it over there where the low boy is. Now, we'll just switch the whole thing around.
Oh, all right. You take the low boy and I'll take the high boy.
And I'll be in Scotland before you.
Now, don't tell me you're moving this to Scotland. Oh, why do I get involved in these things? I've got a newspaper to get out.
Well, you run along home now. You've earned a night's repose.
I didn't know repose was so expensive. What'd I do with my hat and coat?
Well, they're out in the front hall. Shall I get them for you?
Oh, no, I'll go with you. I can still walk. A little. Oh, there they are.
Here, I'll hold your overcoat for you.
Yeah. Thanks. 1 o'clock. Didn't think it was so late. Well, good night.
Good night, Mr. Anderson, and thanks for your help.
Yeah. Kind of a dreary evening out. Aren't you a little nervous living in this big house all alone?
I'm not alone. Robert Barton's asleep upstairs.
Well, but if anything should happen, what good would a 12-year-old boy be? When are the other two Barton kids coming home?
I don't know. Nobody seems to be quite sure where Jack and Barbara are, not even Judge Cronin.
Half the time, that stuffed shirt isn't any too sure where he is. Well, I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
Bye, Mr. Anderson. And thanks. You're always so sweet. Oh, dear, I left all the lights in the living room going. I'll be in Scotland before you. That's funny. I did not leave that French window open. Whoever's behind those drapes had better come out. I said you better come out.
Okay, I'm coming out.
And you might also close that window. Fasten the latch. And if you don't want to be seen from the street, you better switch off just the ceiling lights. Okay. Now you can sit down, Jack.
How did you know I'm Jack Barton? Oh, I know. Bobby told you after all, didn't he?
Robert didn't tell me anything.
Oh, don't give me that.
It's pretty plain, son, that you are Jack Barton. Jack's 17 years old, not just about your age.
Well, there are a lot of 17-year-old people in the world.
Another thing, you were able to fasten that window latch. It's been out of kilter. But you knew just how to make it work.
Well, what about it?
You knew right where to switch the lights off for the ceiling. You've been in this room many times before.
Okay, so I am Jack Barton. I guess you must be Miss Greenwood.
Yes, I'm Miss Greenwood. Now, why didn't you come in the house long ago instead of hanging around outside?
And what makes you think I've been hanging around outside?
You must have been if you talked to Robert. He's been in bed since 8 o'clock.
You're pretty smart, aren't you?
I'll pass the pretty. I still can't figure why you came through the window instead of the front door.
That's my business.
Unless you plan to get in and out again without my knowing
you. And what if I did? You can't stop me anyway.
That's right.
I came to pick up some clothes and things. I'm getting out of Lakeview, catching a 4:30 bus.
Well, you still have a couple of hours. Where are your things? I'll help you pack.
You'll help me?
How about some food? Are you hungry?
No, I haven't got time.
Well, I slip a pretty fancy flapjack.
Flapjack? Well, yeah, I guess I could go for some flapjacks. Haven't eaten since morning.
Well, didn't they feed you wherever you were?
I've been over at Mound City and I... Say, you're not kidding about letting me go. You won't try to stop me.
Why should I try to stop you? A fella 17 years old is able to make up his own mind.
Well, I have made up my own mind. I got to get going.
Jack, why do you want to go?
Because I'm in a tough spot.
Oh. You can't make up your mind about a girl.
No,
huh?
It's not a girl. I had an accident with my jalopy.
Oh, and you're running away because of that? My gracious, if I ran every time I had a little accident with my car, I'd be in a tracksuit most of the time.
Well, this wasn't just a little accident. I'm in real trouble.
Well, do you think you can get away from trouble by running off? It won't work, son.
Well, why won't it work? Why won't it?
Because trouble doesn't come from the outside of us. It usually comes from the inside. No matter how fast or how far you run, you never can get away from yourself.
Nah, that's just talk. Just a lot of talk. I know what I'm doing. I've got to get out of Lakeview. There's a fellow looking for me. A fellow named Gregory. And if he finds me...
Who's Gregory?
The guy whose car I ran into in Mound City.
And you think he'll find you here?
Sure he will. He's bound to.
Well, what makes you imagine he won't find you someplace else?
Well, I...
Or do you keep planning on running away all the rest of your life?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, now look. Instead of trying to dodge Mr. Gregory, you phone him and ask him to come here tomorrow morning.
Ask him to come here?
Yes. Talk things over with him. Make some arrangements to pay him for the damage that you've done.
Oh, no, no, that's out. I've paid him all I can pay. I've already given him the 30 bucks I got for my jalopy.
You sold your jalopy?
Yeah, and I still owe him $270. Where am I going to get it? Where could I raise that much?
I can't answer that. But one thing I do know. Nobody ever escaped paying an honest debt. If you get out of paying it one way, you only have to pay it another. And sometimes with a lot of interest. That's as true as night follows day, son. Well, come on, let's have a go at those flapjacks. What do you say, huh? Yes? Oh, good morning, Jack. Come on in. You know, I was just wondering if that piano wouldn't look better over there against that wall.
He's here, Miss Greenwood.
Huh? Who's here?
Mr. Gregory.
Oh, where?
He's waiting in the hall. Said he'd rather talk to you.
All right, I'll go down and talk with him.
You'll stick by me now, won't you?
Mm-hmm. There isn't going to be any trouble at all. I'm sure he's a reasonable man. Wait there. I'll call you if I want you.
Good morning. Good morning. My name's Gregory. Jack Barton phoned and asked me to call.
Yes, I know.
And you, I presume, are Mrs. Greenwood, his guardian?
Well, no, I'm not his guardian. I merely take care of the house, and it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Now, what happened to your car? Jack didn't give me the details.
Oh, it's really a trifling matter, Miss Greenwood. Nothing at all to worry about. That is, for anyone as well off as Jack Barton.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Jack Barton isn't as well off as some people imagine.
Hmm? Oh, I see what you mean. That wealth is really a worry.
A great worry, especially to those who haven't got it.
How true, Miss Greenwood. How very true. Then you'll sympathize with my position because I wasn't born with a golden spoon in my mouth. No. I began life as a poor farm boy in tattered overalls.
That's interesting. You're the first person I ever met who was born with overalls on.
Oh, but really... Yeah. Oh. That's very good, yes. That's really very good. But what I mean to say is I'm a self-made man.
Yes, well, I'm a self-made woman, but I think I might have done better by letting out a contract.
Yes, that's very good, too.
Yes. Well, let's not talk shop. As I understand it, Jack ran into your car?
Yeah, quite correct. I was parked at the curb when Jack and a crowd of his friends swung around the corner in his car, skidded into me. My own car was badly wrecked.
Oh, that is too bad.
In fact, my car is still in the garage. However, I brought along an estimate of the repairs, if you care to look at it.
Yes, yes, I would. Now, left front fender scratch, broken windshield, right fender damaged, mm-hmm. Body dent, right front tire torn, bumper...
Yes, what? Yes, and it all comes to just... $300.
Yes, I see. And Jack's already paid you the 30.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Leaving a balance of $270.
Well, naturally, Jack will settle that, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Miss Greenwood. Thank you. I was certain I wouldn't have any difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Only you'll have to give him just a little time.
Time?
Yes, time to raise the money.
Now, wait a minute. This thing happened nearly a week ago. I'm getting tired of being shoved around.
Nobody's trying to shove you around, Mr. Gregory, but Jack can't pay what he hasn't got.
Now, you listen to me. Don't hand me that kind of a line. The Bartons are rich.
The Bartons aren't rich. I thought we'd settled that point. Even to pay you the $30, Jack had to sell his car. And if you know what a car means to a boy, you'll realize the sacrifice he's already made.
Oh, sacrifice that boy. I'd certainly hate to have Jack on my hands.
Yes, I know. You want to get your hands on some Jack.
Now, look here, Miss Greenwood. I want my money, and I want it now.
Yes, well, he can't get it for you now.
Oh. Well, would you rather see young Barton land in jail?
Oh, that's nonsense. Wrong as he was, you can't put him in jail merely because he owes you some money.
Oh? Well, maybe this is more serious than just owing me some money. Yes. You see, my wife was sitting in the car when Barton smacked into it. For all he knows, she's hurt because he didn't stop. That's hit and run.
Hit and run?
Yes, the criminal offense. Now, if you want me to forget that part of it, you'd better scrape the money together. I'll be back for it this afternoon. It
2 weeks now since most of us made our New Year resolutions. Perhaps it isn't too soon to check on how well we're keeping them, particularly that good resolution to stay in close touch with friends this year. For although wartime separations may bring loneliness, heartache to many of our friends, yet we can help make them happier through everyday kindnesses, through remembering them frequently with cards. Your Hallmark dealer has cards appropriate for practically every occasion you can think of. Distinguished cards for weddings, anniversaries, or for welcoming that precious new arrival. You'll find the clever card you wanted for wishing someone a happy birthday, and gay cards to bring cheer and a get-well wish to friends who are ill. Yes, and even if you simply want to tell someone I'm thinking of you, you'll find a card for that, too, at your Hallmark dealers. Because there's always a Hallmark card to say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Just remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now back to our story. Charlotte's good intentions have led only to more trouble. She persuaded Jack Barton to stay and face Mr. Gregory, and now it seems as if the damages to Mr. Gregory's car aren't the only issue. For Jack may be confronted with a hit-and-run charge. Later that morning, in the lobby of the Winfield apartment...
So give me a home where the buffalo roam. Hey, hey, where Sheldon is here.
Hi, Junior. Is Judge Cronin at home?
Oh, hello there, Miss Greenwood. Oh, careful, careful. This floor is wet and slippery. Just finished scrubbing it.
I thought your specialty was running the elevator.
Oh, I do all sorts of things around here. They call me the human steam engine.
Oh, because you work so hard?
No, because I'm always whistling. Got you that time.
Dear. I can see you're a man of many talents.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Look, besides running the elevator and taking care of the lobby, I mind the furnace, sweep the halls, tend the switchboard, do repair jobs, and run errands.
Why, that doesn't leave you much time for your Boy Scout work, does it?
Well, I have plenty of spare time. Mm-hmm. Don't have to be on the job till 5 o'clock in the morning, and by 11 o'clock at night, I'm all through. Sure. And the best part of it, every Saturday, $6.
What do you do with all your money?
Oh, you know how it is with us sporty fellas. Easy come, easy go.
Yes, sir. Money goes very fast, but it doesn't go very far.
Oh, you can say that again. What with everything getting higher and higher, about the only thing that ever comes down is the rain.
Then you get soaked.
Huh? Oh, get soaked. That's a pipper. You're a dilly, yes, sir. Oh, look, it's about lunchtime. How about you and me toddling over to the Palace Soda Shop and slipping 2 straws into a milkshake?
Without a chaperone? Couldn't think of it.
Oh, well, then, how about splitting a sundae?
Junior, that's what I like about you. You never give up.
Boy.
Oh, hello, Judge Cronin.
Hello, Miss Greenwood. Sorry I haven't time to talk now. I have a very important lunch appointment.
Yes, I know.
What are you doing here? You know. Well, how do you happen to know about my lunch appointment?
It's with me.
I guess,
Don't you remember I phoned you this morning?
You mean... Tush. I forgot all about you.
Yes, I know. Men always do.
Oh, and here I've made another appointment that I can't break. Well, we can talk for a minute now. Oh, boy.
Yes, sir?
Yes, I mean you. I left some important papers on my desk. Run up to my apartment and get them. They're in a large blue envelope. Now, hurry.
Wait a minute. Large blue envelope?
Yes.
Hurry, come on. Swing on up, Junior.
All right, sure will. Watch out for that scrub bucket.
What did you want to see me about? If you're trying to wheedle money out of me, the answer is no. I'm putting my foot down.
I mean, you're putting your foot in it.
Oh, gosh, look what up to. Look at that. And look at my gaiters. Oh.
Look, now, besides, I don't want to talk about money. I want to give you $270.
I positively... give me? $270 you're giving me?
Now, not to keep, now. I want you to turn it over to Jack this afternoon.
Jack?
Yes, let him think it came from the estate.
Jack Barton, he's home now?
Yes, but he's in a little trouble. He ran into a man's car.
Oh, wait a minute.
And the man said it was a case of hit and run.
Oh, wait,
Jack doesn't pay the damages to the man's
please,
car.
Please, I said, wait a minute. So Jack Barton is in trouble again, eh?
I don't know anything about again.
I do. This isn't the first time such a thing has happened, but this is the time he'll have to accept the consequences himself. I will not help him.
I'm not asking you to
and
help
I
him.
And I won't permit you to help him either. It's time he learned he can't go through life buying his way out of difficulty.
Oh, now, Judge
I'm
Cronin.
Sorry, Miss Greenwood. I'm very sorry. I'm not a harsh and unreasonable man, but I've warned Jack again and again. Had no result. Perhaps the best thing for him is a good lesson. You can go back and tell him that.
No, I won't go back and tell him that. I talked him into staying here and facing this situation. I got him into this. Now I've got to get him out. Somehow. Oh, it's you, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, what's left of me. I'm so stiff and sore from juggling that furniture last night, I can hardly move.
Cheer up. That's really a blessing in disguise.
Well, if it is, the disguise is perfect. Oh, my back. Oh.
You've learned a valuable lesson. Your muscles need toughening. You should start taking setting up exercises.
What? The shape I'm in? Well, I can barely stand.
Well, then take your setting up exercises sitting down.
Well, that's a good thing, huh?
Now, look, I don't need any exercises.
Oh, that must be Mr. Gregory.
Who's Mr. Gregory?
Oh, no, it's Judge Cronin. Hello, Judge.
Good afternoon, Miss Greenwood. And how are you, Anderson?
Well, Judge, to tell you the truth, I'm a little stiff.
So you finally admit it, eh?
I've been... Say, just what do you mean by that?
I mean that you have always
now,
been...
Now, boys,
away.
Boys, don't start that bickering again.
Well, if you think I'm taking anything from that stuffed shirt...
Stuffed shirt?
Just because he had enough influence to get a judge.
Let me tell you something, Anderson. I got my judgeship by plain hard work.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And I held it by plain hard work.
That's absolutely right.
Well, how did he get to be a stuffed shirt?
By plain hard work.
That's absolutely right.
No!
Are you telling him that I am a structure?
Yes, Charlotte. Can't you keep a secret?
No secret. I mean, it is a secret. I mean, no, that's wrong. Don't stand there.
Boys. Oh, boys, really, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Acting like a couple of spoiled children. You're not fooling anybody. You each pretend the other one's the nitwit. But underneath it all,
yes.
You're both right.
This is all irrelevant and immaterial. I didn't come to see either one of you. I want to have a few words with Jack Barton.
Jack Barton? Is he home now?
Yes, but he's at school.
Well, I don't... School? He is?
Mm-hmm.
Why, he hasn't gone to school for months. That's really quite extraordinary.
Oh, by the way, Cronin, did you see my editorial on the school system in this morning's paper?
Oh, yes. Yes, and very good, too.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Who wrote it for you?
Who read it to you?
See here, Anderson, I do not like the tone of your voice.
What'd you expect, Chimes?
Boys, oh, boys, quiet. Heavens to Betsy.
Well,
come in.
Miss Greenwood?
Oh, it's Mr. Gregory.
I'm glad I found you in.
This is Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson.
How do you do?
Mr. Gregory.
How do you do? I'd like to see you alone, Miss Greenwood, if I could.
Huh? What for?
That's all right, Mr. Gregory. You can talk in front of these gentlemen. They're friends of mine.
All right, but if you're counting on their help, you'd better forget it, because I've got this business all wrapped up.
You know, somehow or other, Mr. Gregory, I've already taken a dislike to you. Isn't that strange?
Well,
Now, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Gregory is simply here to collect some money.
That's right, $270.
Oh, so he's the man.
What man?
Miss Greenwood? I expressly forbid you to put up one penny of your own money for this.
I don't intend to, Judge Cronin.
I'm not particular whose money it is, just as long as I get it, and I'm going to get it.
Now, Mr. Gregory, Jack Barton is only 17 years old, going on 18. And at that age, boys, all boys, are a little reckless, a little more willing to take chances than some of us older people.
So what?
I think we can be rather glad about it. I think we can afford to overlook some of their faults. Especially right now when the world owes so much to boys just like that.
You're wasting your time. Young Barton smashed up my car. He came speeding past and swung into me while I was parked at the curb.
properly parked?
Yes, properly parked. And if you want to get legal about it, I've got a witness. The doorman at the picture theater saw me park, and he saw Barton sideswipe the car while my wife and I were in the show.
Oh, then your wife wasn't in the car.
Well,
that seems to throw a different light on your hit-and-run story.
Well, I've still got 270 coming, and I want it.
Yes, I know, and I've been studying this estimate of repairs. There's an item here, dented left rear fender, that's $3. Jack will pay you the $3 tomorrow.
Dented left rear fender?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll grant the damage to that left fender was Jack's fault.
Oh, you'll grant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he completely smashed my right fender. He tore off my right front tire.
No, he didn't do that. You got those damages some other way.
Hmm?
Because if you were properly parked, the right side of your car was next to the curb.
Well...
Hey, that's right.
And Jack's jalopy would have had to pass you on the left, you see.
Well, sure. He couldn't possibly have sideswiped the right side of your car.
Why, of course that's right. Absolutely right.
Yes, figure it out for yourself, Mr. Gregory.
Well,
Go on. We're listening.
Well, I guess I must have made a mistake. I overlooked a point in this case. Yes, I think I'll be going.
Well, just a moment. There's another little point to be settled. The $30 that Jack paid you, we'll expect that back.
But... Yes, and I'll see that he does pay it back.
You tell him, Judge.
You may not have thought of it, Gregory, but that's obtaining money under false pretenses. This sort of racket must be stopped. You'd better call at my chambers in the courthouse tomorrow.
Yes, and now, Mr. Gregory, may I show you the door?
But I...
You better get out quick, brother, before I show you how to get rid of a heel with a toe.
Imagine trying to pin it on that boy.
Well, I'll say one thing. Charlotte certainly made a donkey out of him.
Oh, Mr. Anderson, no lady ever makes a donkey out of a man. She merely gives him the opportunity to follow his natural bent. Now, boys, let's start moving some furniture. What do you say?
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, I wonder if you ever stop to think how little a word of encouragement costs and how much it's worth. Telling a person you believe in him will often give him greater belief in himself than a complete course in how to have self-confidence. There may be times when you might be tempted to get discouraged yourself, but there's never a time when you can't give encouragement. And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying, so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying. So long.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show, with music by Charles Hathaway, his orchestra and the Hallmark Chorus, came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network.
12:30 at KECA, Los Angeles.